Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a Football Friday presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown. Every game, every bet. For real sports fans. With Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. You're locked into The Fan as we get you set for week 7 around the NFL. We go now to the Mattress Warehouse hotline to talk to the former head coach of the Washington Redskins, Jay Gruden. Jay, thanks for a couple minutes. We appreciate it. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How you guys doing?
Good, man.
Doing very well. I guess let's start with this, Jay. How did the conversation go ultimately? Last time we saw you speak, you said, if my key card works, I'm going to keep working. And then we didn't see you again. So how did that last conversation with Dan and Bruce go?
Well, it was pretty brief. You know, I kind of had a, you know, hunch it might go on there, but I met him early in the morning on Monday after the game and was basically let go. It was a great run. Was grateful for the opportunity. Unfortunately, I didn't get it done, and we had to part ways, and they had to go their own way, and I got to go my own way. So no hard feelings whatsoever. I feel like I did the best I could, but ultimately at the end of the day I didn't get it done and they had to go their own way.
What was your biggest frustration, Jay, over the time that you were the head coach here in Washington? What was the thing that frustrated you the most that you wish maybe could have changed or something had broken differently?
Injuries, for sure. You know, and it's nobody's fault. Injuries happen. You know, people want to point fingers at the training staff. They have nothing to do with getting people hurt. They have something to do with getting them well. But just the overall injuries. I never really felt like we played with our aces. You know, we had so many of our best players that never really played or were able to play at length of time to help us win. It was frustrating. You only have so many key backups that can come in and take place of guys like Trent Williams or Alex Smith or Brandon Sheriff when he doesn't play, and you lose some guys like that. It's hard to overcome that, and that's the frustrating part. But we have some guys that competed. I felt like I had a hand in developing some really good players over the course of my 5-year run here, and like I said, but injuries really took a toll on us there the last year and a half or so.
I'm going to throw Jay on hold real quick, Darius, if we could try to see if we could work out the line, because it's awesome to get him on.
That's
we just want to
make
sure we hear everything the best way that we can. So we'll sort out the Bluetooth or whatever's going on these sounds so you guys can hear it as clearly as possible. You hear him out of the chute, though. He sounds like he had a little bit of an indication. I think all of us knew for a couple weeks leading up to what happened that it could go down.
Sure.
Jay Gruden, kind enough to join us on Grant and Danny. All right, Jay, let's get into kind of the last few months here. You mentioned right before it happened you had a little indication. Everything I was hearing was that on the outside, maybe more and more control was being taken over by Dan, by Bruce, that your voice wasn't going as far starting this offseason. Is that fair? Did you see the writing on the wall at all? Because that's how it's happened to a lot of the previous coaches here.
You know what? No, I think we had community. We always had within myself and Bruce and the personnel staff, and that's just the way it is. You know, I don't think any coach, unless you're the coach GM, is going to get your own way all the time. I think you have to communicate, and at the end of the day, you make the decisions best for the football team, and whether your decisions or Bruce's or the personnel department, you have to go with it and live with it and do the best you can with the people that you have.
Jay, for Dwayne Haskins, this is a highly touted guy out of Ohio State, had that unbelievable season against great competition, but seems to be, you know, a project that needs some time, and I think people have kind of come to understand that now. Where is he at just in terms of his development? How far away was he when you got your hands on him, and how far away do you think he is now from being that quarterback the way I hope he can be?
Yeah, I think when you draft a guy like that, it has 1 year experience of college football, you have to have some expectations that it's going to take some time. You know, you'd love for him to come in here, pick everything up, and jump right in the system and play because he's a big, talented guy, and you need a guy to develop because we had Case Keenum on a 1 year deal basically, and Colt coming off a major injury, so we had to draft a guy that can develop, and we're hoping that Case could take the job and run with it while Dwayne sat and learned the system, and that was the plan moving forward. And unfortunately, Case hurt his foot, and Dwayne had to go in there and play. But
Dwayne's a great developmental prospect. He's got a great skill set. He's big, strong, but it does take some time to learn all the nuances of pro football, from calling a play to the huddle, to getting your protection right, to getting the run game checks, to go through your progressions, to audible, to max protection when you have to change your protection, whatever it might be. It takes some time, and Dwayne's on course to learn it, and I think he'll be a force in pro football in due time, but just wasn't quite ready when I was there.
Jay, I want to know what you thought, and I know you do your best to ignore everything going on out of the building, but some of the stuff has to trickle in. When Dwayne Haskins played and struggled against the Giants, the national narrative was, I can't believe they played him, or they set him up to fail. Lewis Riddick eviscerated you guys as if, you know, somehow you can't play Dwayne Haskins, but you also can't have him third on the depth chart. Like, what was your take on suddenly this idea that playing him was unfair to him?
Well, that's idiotic, because he was our backup quarterback, and Colt McCoy was not ready to play. He was not ready to be the backup quarterback, and Case Keenum had a bad foot and couldn't go back in. So our backup quarterback had to play. That's the way it is. Your responsibility as a backup quarterback is to get ready and put a package of plays together for him that he feels comfortable with. And if you have to play, you got to be ready to play. And unfortunately, he had to play in that game, didn't perform up to his standards probably, or anybody's standards, but struggles are going to happen in your first game as a pro player on the road against the Giants. So that's what happened. But he had to get ready to play. He's the only guy we had.
Was your plan this year to kind of redshirt him? Like, if you coached the whole season, would we at some point have seen him take over as the full-time starter, or was that, if you could avoid it, not in your plan?
I think when you're coaching quarterbacks, you have to get a starter ready, and that starter has to get the reps in practice. Practices are only so long, and the plan would be to redshirt him this year unless there was a situation where he had to play like against the Giants. So, but you do have to get him ready for his time. If he does have to play, you have to have a package of plays, like I said, that he's comfortable with and can handle, but you would love for him to sit behind Case or Colt, for that matter, learn for a year, and then and take off running, and that would be the plan.
But do you still think he's going to turn into a stud NFL quarterback long-term?
He's got a chance to, for sure. He's got the skill set. He's got a big, strong arm. He's got a great pocket presence. He can escape. But, you know, he's got a ways to go, you know, with a little bit of everything. You know, I think, and that's the case with a lot of young quarterbacks. Some young quarterbacks are forced to play early. Some quarterbacks that have been great in the history of pro football didn't play until their second or third or fourth year. He's 22 years old. You know, quarterbacks are playing now in their 40s. So he's got a lot of time to develop, a lot of time to work, a lot of time to develop his skill set. As long as he works at it, knows he has to work at it, then he has a great chance to be a heck of a football player here for the Redskins.
Jay Gruden with us here on Grant and Danny. Jay, I know Grant mentioned this about how good a job I think you have to be an NFL head coach, and let alone one in Washington, to ignore outside noise. But I'm sure, you know, occasionally something creeps in. What do you think people got wrong about you?
Probably just about everything, probably. You know, I think you listen to all the callers or ex-players or what have you to call in, I'm sure you can find somebody that has some negative things to say about you, but I feel like I'm my own person and did a pretty good job with the talent that I had. I did the best I could. You know, I tried to develop some young players. I wasn't too easy on the guys. We worked extremely hard. The guys were focused. The guys were detailed. The notion that I was too nice and too laid back, I think, is wrong. I think I was intense at times. I was hard on the guys at times. Yes, I was laid back at times, but for the most part, I did the best I could to get these guys ready to play and develop their skill set and make sure they developed into the best player they could possibly be. And at the end of the day, that was my job.
I want to go into that because I'm sure you've heard this Club J thing, right? And it's something we've talked about a lot on the show, where we'll have people on or we'll wonder, you know, is practice not hard enough? You know, people will even make jokes about ping pong in the locker room and all these little things that bother them. You played quarterback, and you've played, whether it's the arena leagues and coming up collegiately. But what's your take on, do you regret, quote-unquote, being as much a player coach as you were? And it sounds like you don't think maybe you're as easy on the team as the outside perception was anyway.
I don't think I was at all, really. I think having ping pong in between meetings, our kicker and punter play ping pong, or ping pong are pretty good ping pong players. But, you know, in between meetings, they're going to play ping pong, that's fine. But I know that when the players are in meetings, whether it's position meetings or team meetings, they're focused and they're learning, they're taking notes and they're working hard. When you go out to practice field, walkthroughs are focused and detailed and working hard. And that's all you can do at the end of the day. And then come game day, you know, we expect them to play and perform at a high level. Sometimes they did, and unfortunately, the last five games I was there, we didn't perform to the standards of the Washington Redskins. That's why I was let go. But the blame it on Club Gruden or whatever it is asinine. It's not even close to being true. You look at the development of some of our young players and the strength that they accumulated. Look at our defensive line, how much stronger they got in the weight room, and the young receivers that developed, some of the young offensive linemen we had to play, and some of the tight ends and some of the defensive backs. I mean, we've developed some pretty good players around here. It's not because of Club Gruden. It's because they worked extremely hard.
Hey, Jay, for, you know, when anytime there's a transition, and you know, this is everyone in their own lives and every job they've ever had, when you know, when they move on or are asked to move on, whatever, a lot of times it's a good time for self-assessment. Give me your self-assessment. What are you good at as a coach, and what would you like to work on to improve?
Well, I think I feel like I'm pretty good at evaluating talent. I feel like I'm pretty good at developing the talent that I have in the building, and coming up with a plan that is necessary for success, attacking defenses and all that good stuff. I feel like I do have a idea of what defenses are trying to do, take away, and how to attack defenses, and I feel like I can get along with players and motivate players. That's what it's all about at the end of the day. So, unfortunately, it didn't look that way the last 5 games I was there, really the last 10 or 11 games that we were there, just because of a lot of the injuries we had on offense. But there are some things I feel like I can do better, maybe from a preparation standpoint, maybe get these guys a little bit more ready to play. But overall, I think I did the best I could with what we had.
Jay Gruden spending a few minutes with us here on Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. You know, Bill Callahan, since he's taken over, he has implemented a few changes. There are refs at practice, a couple things like that. I guess first thing, had you had refs at practice before? Is it something you thought about? And then secondly, if he, you know, he's one of your top assistants. He's been in the building the whole time. Did he ever say to you, hey, why don't we have refs at practice? He's kind of at his press conferences now, pointed out a few things he wants to do very differently, ones against ones. Like, is that something he suggested or could have suggested at any point? Did the assistants, if all along he thought, these are things we should be doing, is it something he brought up with you?
You say refs at practice?
Refs, like referees.
Oh, refs. Yeah. Well, refs at practice, you know, who are they? You know, if they're not reffing on game day or reffing in the NFL, then what is their opinion for, you know? I could see holding on. We teach holding and hand usage and all that stuff. But to have a college referee come in there and throw a flag and stop practice because the guy has a false start, I mean, what the heck? We know it's a false start. We got to correct it. But, you know, I don't know. Refs, they're fine. But overall, I think, yes, Bill had to. Still had as much control as he was assistant head coach, for goodness sakes. Anything he recommended, I would take to heart and either implement or not implement. So, you know, referees, I didn't really believe in a whole lot just because I didn't know who they were, where they came from, and they weren't NFL refs. So what was the point?
Jay, non-injury division, I mean, obviously you mentioned injuries. It's devastated this organization for really the last 5 years. Non-injury division, though, what's the thing that frustrated you the most about your experience?
Oh, shoot. Well, you know, the lack of winning, really, you know, not a playoff win. And some of the key wins, the key opportunities we had on Monday Night Football, some big games that we did not perform our best in. You know, for some reason, we did not perform at our best in critical situations. There's some great situational football that we did not produce in, whether we had a lead and we gave up the lead or we didn't get the lead back. You look at the game against Philadelphia, we're up 20-7 at the half. We give up a touchdown to start the third quarter. We go 3-and-out. We give up another touchdown. We go 3-and-out. And we have a huge penalty, and then we give up another touchdown. You know, we weren't able to come out in the second half and perform to our capabilities, and that's on me as a head coach. So some opportunities that we had that we did not convert on were frustrating to me, and obviously the lack of playoff wins and getting to the next level.
Jay, your expertise in an analyst role now, I'm interested in on this Trent Williams front. I'll just give you, this is not the way they teach you in college to ask a question, but I'm going to give you my quick take on this. I think it'd be malpractice for this organization not to trade Trent Williams. As bad as things have gotten, needing draft picks and to reboot here, and he doesn't want to play for them. How do you see this playing out moving forward? Did you talk to Trent at all? What is going on, and why is it that it seems like Bruce Allen doesn't want to trade him?
Well, he's a great player, number one. He has 2 years left on his contract. So from a team standpoint, I can see why they want to hold on to him. They put a lot of time into him, a lot of money into him, and he's a Washington Redskin player, and it's what he's paid to be. From a personal standpoint, from Trent's standpoint, he obviously has some issues that he does not appreciate or does not want to be part of this organization anymore. So something's got to happen. Either he's got to report and honor his contract, or the Redskins have to trade him, one or the other. you know, very similar to what happened when I was in Cincinnati. I first got the job as offensive coordinator, and Carson Palmer, the exact same situation. He didn't want to come back for the Bengals, didn't want to be part of the organization. We held him for a little while and ended up trading him to Arizona, I believe it was, or whoever it was. I can't remember who we traded him to. But
I think that's right for a couple ones, maybe the Raiders.
Oakland, maybe?
Yeah, Raiders. Yeah, to you. So, so something's going to have to happen eventually. I can't imagine that Trent's going to retire. He's got a lot of football left. He's a great player. He was great for our football team when he played. So that's a tough decision. You know, you can hammer Trent. You can hammer the organization. But at the end of the day, something's going to have to happen here soon.
Jay, I'm going to go the same route Grant just did and give you my opinion on something, and I'd love to get your opinion on what I'm about to say. If I was you, I'd be ticked off. I'm expected to produce results, and I got a first-round draft pick that's a project. I'm expected to produce results, and one of my best players is in the midst of this holdout anger fest with the organization, and Bruce Allen told everybody he knows the truth, and maybe this is what the truth was, and we were just supposed to guess. I don't know. But I'd be pretty frustrated if I was you, if I was expected to turn in an A paper and I wasn't given resource materials. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, definitely frustrating. Not to mention Alex Smith, who, you know, he paid a lot of money to, and he's injured. You know, now you can't control that. And then Darius Geis, who I feel like is going to be a heck of a running back in the National Football League. It just, unfortunately, you know, had to have a scope on his knee after week one. But, yeah, it's frustrating for sure, you know, because you only have so much money and you have these contracts. And when you pay somebody this big-time money, those are the guys that have to produce in a huge way. And when they're not available, then you're asking the next guy to produce, and they're not quite that. You know, it's like trading in a Lamborghini for a Honda. You know, you're not going to get the same car. It's a car, but it's not going to be the same car. And you need those Lamborghinis to perform on game day. And unfortunately, we didn't have them, you know, in my time.
So I'm going to go in a different direction here. Jay Gruden's with us on Grant and Danny. A few more minutes here on The Fan. Offensively, and I think you did a lot of things well. You were dealt some bad hands. But here's one thing I'll take issue with, and I want you to call me an idiot if you want to. This is an open platform.
I'll be glad to.
I did not.
You can just
think,
do it without the question.
You got a ton of strengths. I thought a thing that really hurt you here was the defensive coordinator hirings. And I don't know that it was all your fault, specifically this offseason. You're trying to go get a better upgrade at D.C. maybe, and you got 1 year left essentially to prove that you can do it. And I don't know how many D.C.s want that situation, but it seemed like Wade Phillips was sniffing around wanting to come here. You guys went Joe Barry. I'm sure you think highly of Greg Minuski, but it hadn't gone very well. Is there any regret at all in terms of defensive coordinator hirings, or is that something maybe at your next opportunity that you feel like you've got to do better? What would you say about that?
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, I think the hiring of Joe Barry over Wade Phillips was my decision there. And I like Joe Barry. I like his energy. I knew him at Tampa Bay, and he actually ran a similar scheme as to Wade Phillips. And Wade Phillips was obviously an older gentleman and a well-established football coach, but I thought Joe Barry brought some youth and could handle a lot of the things that we had going on here. And I had a history with Joe Barry. So from a schematic standpoint, I thought it was similar. Obviously, you're not getting the same guy, and I might have made a mistake there, but I still think Joe Barry's a heck of a football coach. And then we went to Greg Minuski, and, you know, had a couple other interviews, and, you know, Greg Minuski really was a package deal with Jim Tomsula. I thought the two of them together were a great package. I thought Tomsula coaching defensive line and Minuski handling the front and the back end a little bit, I thought would be a great combination. I had a lot of success at San Francisco, and Minuski did some good things in Indianapolis when he was there. And also Greg was here as an outside linebacker coach and knew the talent that we had. So he really was quite aware of the needs that we had and the players that we had. So I thought it was a good match. And unfortunately, our defense did not perform up to their capabilities. But, you know, at the end of the day, we still had, you know, some inside linebackers. And we just signed Bostic. And you know, he just got here. So it wasn't like we were overstacked with talent on defense. We still had some things that we had to work through on the defense standpoint talent-wise, but obviously we did underachieve there in my time there, and I don't think it's all coaching, though. I think it's a little bit of everything.
No, I think that's fair. You mentioned the talent. You joked before this season, I don't even know if you remember this, but it was a zing that we talked about on the show a lot, about Hard Knocks, and you said, look, if I don't make the playoffs, I'm not going to be here anyway, and I thought you were kind of being honest while also making a joke.
Funny.
But Danny and I have said all along, it felt to me like the plan was, if you don't make the playoffs, you're not coming back. But at no point did I think you had a playoff roster. I'm curious, do you think that this group could have made the playoffs if some stars aligned and you stayed healthy?
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
For sure. That's the healthiest is the big thing. You know, I don't know if you can take away a starting quarterback, a starting running back, a starting tackle, a starting tight end of Jordan Reed's caliber and say, you guys go ahead and win the Super Bowl. You look at the 49ers last year, why did they struggle so bad? Well, they lost Garoppolo, and they had a couple other key injuries on offense and defense. Now they got all their guys back, and they're missing a couple tackles now, but they're healthy at quarterback and their other key positions, and they're 5-0. So it's no secret. It's not like Kyle Shanahan got smarter. They got the guys healthy, and we just never had that opportunity, unfortunately.
Jay, obviously, the way kind of put aside the way that it ended here, but just go back through your time here. Toughest moment where, you know, just it seemed like the world was crashing down upon you, and then maybe proudest accomplishment.
Wow. Toughest moments. Every loss was a tough moment. We put so much time and effort and work into it. Every game plan, anytime you lose, is tough. You know, the loss against the Giants, we had a chance to win and go to the playoffs, and we threw the interception going in to kick a field goal and beat the Giants. Was a tough loss. Losing the playoff game to the Packers was tough. We felt really good that we had the crowd was buzzing. It was the best home crowd we had since I've been here. Those are tough moments for us. And then obviously starting out the way we started out this year was really, 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 really difficult because we had high expectations. Obviously, I did anyway. Proudest accomplishment would just be, you know, getting to meet all the coaches and work with all those guys and develop some of these young players and have some fun with these guys. We had a great group of guys, really, in my time here. We had some guys I wasn't too fond of, obviously. We finally got rid of those guys. But for the most part, loved the group of guys that I got a chance to work with. Liked working with the majority of the coaches that I had on staff. And really had a great time and was really grateful for my opportunity to coach there.
You probably don't want to name any names, but if I guess...
Blink once for yes?
Oh, yeah. Blink once for DJ Swearinger.
Well, DJ was a passionate guy. You just got to learn to control your emotions from time to time and what you say to the media. But, you know, we got some guys that were very volatile, emotional, and that's what you're – when you have a roster of 53, 63 guys, 70 guys with all the injuries, 75, not everybody's going to be the perfect player that you want them to be. You're going to have to deal with some issues. And we had to deal with our share of issues here. But for the most part, I thought we handled them all. And we got the roster the way we wanted it to, except for the injuries.
If you were back next year and you were going into year 7, would you try to make any changes? I know you said it's not all in the training staff, but to make no changes after all this seems crazy.
Well, it's not on the trainers. It's not. It's the trainer's job to get them well. It's not the trainer's fault. That
medical, doctors, whatever it is.
It's not the trainer's or doctor's fault that Alex Smith developed an infection in his leg and you know, and Trent Williams was holding out. Darius Geis hurt his knee, and Roulier, you know, hurt his knee early on in the season, and Jordan Reed got a concussion. It's not their fault. You know, unfortunately, injuries happen in pro football. It just so happened to our best players. So I don't think you can blame anybody for that. You know, really, Larry Hess does a great job in the training room, and Chad Englehart, the strength room, like I said, they're developing strength and power with the defensive line, offensive line, and outside backers, they work extremely hard. Injuries happen. It just so happens they hit us hard.
All right, you were gracious with your time. Last one I've got for you is, what advice would you have to the next head coach of the Redskins, and do you think they'll be able to hire an A-lister? You know, coaches come and go, and guys like me sit here, and we've been in D.C. since we were in diapers watching the Redskins, and it just seems like they've been trying to get this right, and they can't. Do you think they'll be able to hire an A-lister after another coach comes in like you and departs the way that you did?
Well, I've had A-listers, really. You know, Mike Shanahan was an A-lister. He won a Super Bowl. And you know, Steve Spurrier was an A-lister at the time when he came in here. He was one of the best college coaches in football.
But, Jay, even in your case, you're 46 years old. You're the hot
shot O.C. I'm an A-lister. What the heck? I mean, I thought I was a pretty good coach, you know. But, unfortunately, you got to have the stars got to line. Like you say, you got to draft well. You got to develop people. You got to stay healthy. And things got to happen right. And
but if a guy's in your spot where they're the hot O.C. in the league right now and they call you and say, hey, what do you think? You're telling them to take that job?
I'm telling them, take the job, man. It's a great job, really. They pay you well. They treat you well. It's a good organization, man, and they have some great young talent on this football team. And if you have a chance to come over here and coach Jerome Payne and Jonathan Allen and Ryan Kerrigan on defense, and Landon Collins and Brandon Sheriff on offense, and you have a young quarterback you might be able to develop, why not? Take a chance, man. It's a great opportunity to be in the NFC East and a great franchise.
Jay, really appreciate the time, man. I know you could have called a lot of shows. It means a lot that you called ours, buddy. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Good luck to you.
No worries. Thank you, guys.
There's Jay Gruden, head coach of the Washington Redskins over these last 6 years on Grant and Danny. Pretty candid in some spots with us there. Let us know what you thought about Jay, and we'll get into some of the specifics of that interview next on Grant and Danny on The Fan. Jay Gruden just joined us on Grant and Danny. We'll take your calls, your reactions to the interview at 800-636-1067. Now, there's plenty of meat on the bone here. A lot to discuss as we sit down and chat about what Jay Gruden just said. So a couple of things that stood out. Number one, I thought it was pretty clear that he feels like his tenure here was marred by and worse off because of the seemingly limitless injuries.
Yeah, I mean, the data suggests that that's a factor, obviously. Right? The most injured team in the sport.
Now, there are two camps of people here. There are, you know, your tough guys who just think that the 53rd guy on the roster should be as good as the first guy on the roster and that injuries don't matter. And then I think there are very reasonable people who see the injury situation of the Redskins. You lose your starting quarterback when you're 6-3, or you lose your starting running back this year a week into the season, or your left tackle never shows up. And it stands to reason when you don't have Trent Williams, you have Donald Penn, your team is worse. I think there will be plenty of people who say, oh, that's an excuse. You can't use that as an excuse. And as far as I'm concerned, you came to the right person, because if you listen to this show, you know how I feel. It's an explanation, not an excuse. That having been said, yes, teams have to overcome injuries. It's how many injuries can you overcome and at what position on the field and how critical a starter are you losing? But I think that was one thing you kind of set to the side, and it's very clear that as Jay Gruden looks back, he thinks, I would have had a better run. The Redskins would have been more successful. We'd have done a lot better if we weren't the most injured team in the league over the last three-plus seasons, whatever it was. There are a lot of other things I took out of that conversation that I jotted down I want to get into. What was your takeaway or the first couple bullet points you've got?
The biggest thing, and this is not a criticism, this is just the reality of the situation, right? He's still being paid by the Redskins because they let him go before the end of his contract. He's not going to say the juicy thing that maybe somebody wants. He's not going to give you the pound of flesh about, you know, the Bruce Allen or Dan Snyder or this person being incompetent or that or otherwise. And Jay's not a dumb guy. He understands the position he's in.
You probably have to take the high road.
Of course, and he
number one, you look bad and like it's sour grapes if you don't. But, I mean, from a legal, financial, whatever it is standpoint, when you get fired and you have a year left on your deal, I don't know this to be fact, but I would just have to assume you can't just go out and light fire to everything and still get your money.
Well, it's also bad business. Think about this. Now, you'd be justified with the Redskins, certainly, because it's a poorly run organization, despite Bruce's protestations that it's a damn good culture. But imagine you're an owner of another team. Say for the sake of argument, you are the Browns owner, the Bengals owner, the Raiders owner, whomever, right? Think about what happens to NFL coaches. They get fired. Owners don't get fired, unless you're Jerry Richardson. But for the most part, owners don't get fired. When he leaves my place, is he going to do that to me?
Right.
Is he going to light fire to my bridge? I don't need that.
Yeah, is he going to take the high road and sell the right things and say that the people there are doing a good job? Which is essentially what he did. I mean, I thought there was candor, though. I thought there was honesty.
He walked that line.
And he picked some spots, and he kind of divulged a couple of nuggets and good information along the way that I thought was really helpful for Redskins fans. Here's one thing I do want to play on the redshirting of Haskins. This is the first time I've heard this definitively anywhere. Had he have been the coach of the Redskins all season, his plan was not to play Dwayne Haskins, that he would not have started.
That was my number two thing, yeah.
How much that played into him getting fired. Like, I promise you, we're going to see Dwayne Haskins start this season with Bill Callahan as an interim head coach. I will be shocked if we don't. He's already getting first-team reps where they're now spelling Case Keenum midweek in a way that Jay Gruden wasn't. Now, I'm not saying that Dan Snyder and Bruce Allen decided to fire him so that they could play Dwayne Haskins, but I don't think it was anything working in Jay Gruden's favor. If every time they talked to him about the quarterback that they just wanted drafted more than he did, and they said, you got to start that guy, and he said, listen up, I'm not starting him this year. It didn't help him keep his job. Here was Jay Gruden on Haskins.
I think when you're coaching quarterbacks, you have to get a starter ready. And that starter has to get the reps in practice. Practices are only so long. And the plan would be to redshirt him this year unless there was a situation where he had to play like against the Giants. But you do have to get him ready for his time. If he does have to play, you have to have a package of plays, like I said, that he's comfortable with and can handle, but you would love for him to sit behind Case or Colt for that matter, learn for a year, and then take off running. And that would be the plan.
Him talking about Haskins playing against the Giants was also good. You'll remember Lewis Riddick, and I killed him on the show for it because I thought it was ridiculous. And I love Lewis Riddick as a commentator. I really do. I think he could easily be on Monday Night Football as an analyst. He's one of the sharpest guys going on national television. But he completely missed his mark when he crushed the Redskins for playing Dwayne Haskins, and he fed into a lot of dumb opinions from people around the country who aren't as smart as he is, who just say dumb things all the time. when he said that the Redskins somehow set Dwayne Haskins up to fail, and he made it seem like there was some nefarious plan to make him look bad.
The nefarious elements of it I thought was ridiculous. I thought, in just taking out one part of it, that I don't think it was a great thing to throw Haskins in there and have him fail. I'd like to have the kid succeed. I think that's a reasonable
discussion.
But
as we talked about after
the
game.
But the nefarious part was the, like, wait, what are we talking about?
But even when we discussed this after the game, you didn't like that he played. Case Keenum wasn't healthy. He was the backup.
I understand that.
Colt McCoy's not available. What are you supposed to do? This was Jay Gruden on Haskins playing against the Giants.
Well, that's idiotic because he was our backup quarterback, and Colt McCoy was not ready to play. He was not ready to be the backup quarterback, and Case Keenum had a bad foot and couldn't go back in. So our backup quarterback had to play. That's the way it is. Your responsibility as a backup quarterback is to get ready and put a package of plays together for him that he feels comfortable with. And if you have to play, you got to be ready to play. And unfortunately, he had to play in that game, didn't perform up to his standards probably, or anybody's standards, but struggles are going to happen in your first game as a pro player on the road against the Giants. So that's what happened. But he had to get ready to play. He's the only guy we had.
One more cut on Dwayne Haskins from Jay Gruden. And just talking about him not yet being ready, could he still eventually be a really good quarterback in this league?
Yeah, I think when you draft a guy like that that has 1 year experience of college football, you have to have some expectations that it's going to take some time. You know, you love for him to come in here, pick everything up, and jump right in the system and play because he's a big, talented guy, and you need a guy to develop because we had Case Keenum on a one-year deal, basically, and Colt coming off a major injury, so we had to draft a guy that can develop, and we're hoping that Case could take the job and run with it while Dwayne sat and learned the system, and that was the plan moving forward, and unfortunately, Case hurt his foot, Dwayne had to go in there and play, but Dwayne's a great developmental prospect. He's got a great skill set. He's big, strong, but it does take some time to learn all the nuances of pro football, from calling a play to the huddle, to getting your protection right, to get the run game checks, to go through your progressions, to audible, to max protection when you have to change your protections, whatever it might be. It takes some time, and Dwayne's on course to learn it, and I think he'll be a force in pro football in due time, but just wasn't quite ready when I was there.
Here's what I wonder about. And I don't know the answer to this, Grant. I kind of wish now that hearing that back, I'd maybe gone into this a little bit. The Redskins signed Josh Johnson on like a Tuesday and were able to put together some kind of limited, small, tiny package that he could go and run on a Sunday. Now, Johnson's been in the league for a long time, in and out of the league, whatever. But was there something like that, a middle ground that could have been done for Dwayne Haskins? Or was this such a... he doesn't know how to do a drop back. He doesn't know how to call a play in the like. Was there some way we could have done a middle ground?
But he said
to
in the answer that you put a package of plays together for him. He said that in the answer.
It partly, yes. But I guess I'm kind of wondering, could that have expedited things, or are we just talking about a guy that right now has a great arm and has to just be built up from the ground? And I wish I'd kind of honed in on that in terms of prospect. We had so much that we wanted to jump around and cover. But it also leads me to think of, did they know, did everybody know that he was this much of a project, right? And what was that conversation like with the guys in the front office, the Ivory Tower, to say, he's going to be good, but we don't have time for that right now?
I think, yeah, there's plenty more I would have liked to have drilled down, not only on Haskins, but in general. I wanted to ask him about O'Connell. I mean, he was on for about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. We got to as much as we could. I could have gone for an hour.
Yeah, you know, because without question.
There's a million questions to ask. Want to get into his thoughts on some of the changes Bill Callahan has made, as well as his answer to the question when Bruce Allen and Dan Snyder came up about whether or not he saw the writing on the wall and some of his opinions started to be restricted and maybe not taken to mean as much this offseason. You'll hear that as we continue on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Grant and Danny on The Fan. We'll get back into our normal, regularly scheduled Nats are in the playoffs in October show coming up at the top of the hour, as the World Series is now only 4 days away.
Right?
There was a time we had to wait a full week.
Sunday, Monday. Yeah.
The wait is down to four. Jay Gruden was just on the show. If you missed it, you're going to want to grab that podcast at thefandc.com. It was very good. You know, whatever you think of Jay Gruden's tenure here, I think most people agree he's a pretty likable guy. He's kind of amiable, fun dude you'd want to have a beer with. And he was pretty honest and candid where he could have been, picked his spots with us, and I thought gave us some good nuggets and information. If you're a Redskins fan, I think you probably appreciate that he hopped on to chat about the last several years. Here was Jay Gruden on the perception of what is called Club J. This is the, you know, he's too easy on players and he doesn't push them hard enough. They don't practice hard enough. Here was his thought on that.
I don't think I was at all, really. I think having ping pong in between meetings, our kicker and punter play ping pong, or ping pong are pretty good ping pong players. But, you know, in between meetings, they're going to play ping pong, that's fine. But I know that when the players are in meetings, whether it's position meetings or team meetings, they're focused and they're learning, they're taking notes and they're working hard. When you go out to practice field, walkthroughs are focused and detailed and working hard. And that's all you can do at the end of the day. And then come game day, you know, we expect them to play and perform at a high level. Sometimes they did, and unfortunately, the last five games I was there, we didn't perform to the standards of the Washington Redskins. That's why I was let go. But to blame it on Club Gruden or whatever it is asinine. It's not even close to being true. If you look at the development of some of our young players and the strength that they accumulated, look at our defensive line, how much stronger they got in the weight room, and the young receivers that developed, some of the young offensive linemen we had to play, and some of the tight ends and some of the defensive backs. I mean, we've developed some pretty good players around here. It's not because of Club Gruden. It's because they worked extremely hard.
So, actually, he said several times came back to the idea of developing young players.
Yeah.
And this is one thing that while the organization has been bad for a long time and wasn't good enough under Gruden, and as we said, he had his own issues while he was here, and the entire outfit did, whether it's Quentin Dunbar or Matt Ioannidis or Jonathan Allen, who's a first-round pick, a little different. Deron Payne, first-round pick. But you look at some of the success stories they've had. You know, Chris Thompson balling when we're talking about firing Jay Gruden how much he developed under Jay Gruden.
That's a project that develops.
Maurice
certainly.
Harris may not be in the league again. He caught 10 balls for 100 yards at one point last year. Terry McLaurin looks like a stud. You know, they have hit on some draft picks, but they've also turned some mid- and late-round picks like Sean Dion Hamilton into players around here.
Or like Chase Roullier, honestly. Yeah, a guy to know is a starting center.
Gruden took a lot of pride in that, and he talked about that maybe being what he'll look back on fondly.
And it's an underrated thing. I mean, we scoff at that for, like, you develop players for a team that's going to go 3-13 or 7-9 a bunch of times. Congratulations. But there is something to that. I mean, yeah, you need more of it. You need it to be a more widespread, certainly, than it was. But there are some success stories in there. There really are.
What did people get wrong about Jay Gruden? I thought that was a good question from you. You know, he is a guy, I'm sure most coaches don't listen, don't pay much attention. But when you're out and about like he is, and he's the kind of guy, if you go to One Loud and then go to Matchbox, he's just chilling there eating in a restaurant like some other 50-year-old dude. He kind of lives like a normal guy. You're going to hear some of the stuff people think trickle in. Here's what he said about people and what they got wrong about him.
Just about everything, probably. You know, I think you listen to all the callers or ex-players or what have you to call in, I'm sure you can find somebody that has some negative thing to say about you. But I feel like I'm my own person and did a pretty good job with the talent that I had. I did the best I could. You know, I tried to develop some young players. I wasn't too easy on the guys. We worked extremely hard. The guys were focused. The guys were detailed. The notion that I was too nice and too laid back, I think, is wrong. I think I was intense at times. I was hard on the guys at times. Yes, I was laid back at times, but for the most part, I did the best I could to get these guys ready to play and develop their skill set and make sure they developed into the best player they could possibly be. And at the end of the day, that was my job.
That might end up even being one of my favorite cuts because he goes into, and that was before we followed up on Club J. People thought I was too nice and too laid back. That's wrong. But the quote in there that should stand out and should just sound sirens, I believe at the very beginning of that he said, I did a pretty good job with the talent that I had.
That's the key phrase right
there.
That
should tell you about everything you need to know. Later in the interview, I asked him, did you have a playoff roster this year? And he basically said, yeah, we could have made the playoffs. Everything was about staying healthy. We didn't stay healthy. But he said, I did a pretty good job with the talent that I had. It doesn't take an NFL scout to look at the Redskins offense right now and say, Terry McLaurin, Brandon Scherff, and who else? You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course I know what you mean.
I think that's kind of what that says to me.
It is. And listen, the second answer, we had playoff talent, that's the diplomatic answer, right? Because that's bosses. That's front office guys who pick those players. But the first one where he tells you, yeah, with the talent that we had, what did we have on offense? We got $20 million bucks going to a guy that may never play again. We got $15 million going to a guy that hates the organization. That's $35 million off your offense. That's 35% of what your salary cap budget should be spent on your offense for guys that either cannot or will not play for you. What head coach could survive that? What coach offensively could come up with something that makes this a dynamic top half of the league offense? I would argue very few. So to me, you saw that, or you kind of felt his sort of pain there a little bit, right? Where it was going. My hands were tied a lot of times when it came to personnel.
You tell me if I'm trying too hard here, okay? I'm reading tea leaves on the Haskins and his chance to be really good in time. Cut. At the start of this, Haskins has a chance to be good. Needs time, I think is what it's called, though. The way I asked the question was, do you think Dwayne Haskins will be a stud in the NFL? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
If a coach who recently got fired he praised a couple guys. You think if I didn't ask, what's Jonathan Allen going to be in the NFL, he wouldn't have praised him. He went out of his way a couple times to mention him. Daron Payne, a couple of those types of dudes. I said, is Dwayne Haskins going to be a stud in the NFL? And here's how his answer started.
He's got a chance, dude, for sure. He's got the skill set. He's got a big, strong arm. He's got a great pocket presence. He can escape. But, you know, he's got a ways to go, you know, with a little bit of everything. You know, I think, and that's the case with a lot of young quarterbacks. Some young quarterbacks are forced to play early. Some quarterbacks that have been great in the history of pro football didn't play until their second or third or fourth year. He's 22 years old. You know, quarterbacks are playing now in their 40s. So he's got a lot of time to develop, a lot of time to work, a lot of time to develop his skill set. As long as he works at it, knows he has to work at it, then he has a great chance to be a heck of a football player here for the Redskins.
He's got a chance to. Again, maybe I'm thinking too much into it, but it's certainly not the same endorsement as he gave to the guys. He said, when we talked about, what would you tell the next coach? And he said, you've got players on defense like, and he named Allen and Collins and mm-hmm. Payne. You got players on offense like Scherf. He didn't name Haskins.
No.
And right there, is he going to be a stud? He's got a chance to. I think sometimes what isn't said is more important than what is.
Yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. I mean, I think there's two different qualifications or classifications. One guy has accomplished something in this league when you think of a Jonathan Allen.
Yeah.
He's done some things, right? Dwayne Haskins hasn't. He's got one half where he played poorly. I don't know that it's necessarily apples to apples, but I see your point
but
there.
If
he was bullish and enthusiastic, he'd be like, yeah, that guy's going to be a
star.
That's
my point. If he loved him, if he was the guy standing on the table for him at number 15,
yeah,
Mike Shanahan
indicative.
Still comes on our show and talks about Kirk Cousins. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, when you have a guy, you got a guy.
Right.
I've never thought Dwayne Haskins was this guy. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is at this moment. And again, we're talking about what would you say to the next head coach, and I didn't ask the question with any thought of Dwayne Haskins in my mind at all. But when he starts naming players and on offense,
you could go, I know you didn't name Dwayne Haskins at any point.
You could you name Brandon Scherf. You get to work with Brandon Scherf, who by the way is not under contract, and the next coach might even not get to work with.
All right.
But I just thought that was interesting.
It is. It's telling.
Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.